live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Tuesday night. Flames fall 3-1 on the road in Vancouver as their point streak snapped at 4 games. Flames Talk postgame is underway, and let's kick it off by immediately going back to Rogers Arena in Vancouver. We go from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Derek Wills, standing by with Flames forward Kevin Rooney post-game right now.
Thanks, Pat. Kevin, a tough one tonight. A 3-1 loss to the Canucks as you guys wrap up a busy stretch with 5 games in 5 different cities in 8 days. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it was a tough one. I mean, obviously coming, playing a lot of hockey lately, and they were a fresh team, and you could really see that tonight. And obviously that's not an excuse. We obviously need to be better, and they were just hungrier than us and pretty much all aspects of the game. So it was disappointing for sure.
When you're maybe a little bit tired physically or mentally, how do you try to push through that and stay in hockey games as you guys did tonight?
Yeah, you just want to be simple, and I thought we really did that early on. I thought we had a great first period. We came out, and it was a great road period after playing a lot of hockey, and we just kind of came out flat there in the second, and they gained a ton of momentum from the power play goal and scoring right after, and we were just never able to claw back into it.
Well, you were in on the Flames' only goal in this game against the Canucks tonight. You pick up your first point of the season, setting up a goal scored by Justin Kirkland, another fourth-line goal for the Flames. Ryan Lomberg was in on that one as well. How much have you enjoyed playing with those two guys this season?
Yeah, I really have. I mean, it's been a lot of fun over the last couple games there. It's probably been a 4-game stretch or something, and Kirky's been awesome for us right from the get-go of the season, and then Lombie's just bringing the energy every single night. So it's been a lot of fun to play with those two guys, and it was nice to see us get rewarded because I thought we'd been playing some good hockey and haven't been able to generate the goal there. So it was nice to get rewarded, and hopefully we can continue to do that to help solidify the depth on the team.
Yeah, last one for you, Kevin. I'm sure you're happy to head home, have a couple of days in between games, and then to start a 4-game homestand on Friday. What are you guys going to have to do to bounce back from this loss versus the Canucks tonight with a win versus the Predators a few nights from now?
Yeah, just get back to the hockey that we were playing on that road trip and then the home game we saw last night. I think we're all excited to play at home. It's been a lot of fun playing at the Saddle Dome this year. The fans have been awesome. We got a nice home stretch, so we're really looking forward to getting back home. Rest up for a couple days and get right back after it.
Kevin, thanks for doing this, and good luck to you and the guys on Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Kevin Rooney joining me from just outside the Flames dressing room as we send it back to Pat Steinberg inside of our downtown studio in Calgary.
From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, the phone line's open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Color voice of the Flames, Megan Mickelson, with us from Rogers Arena as well for some quick post-game reaction following a 3-1 loss to the Canucks to snap the point streak at 4. Mick, just not a lot happening for the Flames in this one tonight. Hey, in 5 games, 8 nights, good team on the other side, hungry team on the other side. Just not a lot doing for the Flames tonight.
Yeah, and I would agree with Kevin Rooney. I mean, the first period, they came out and you could tell that they were pushing and came out of that one with the lead. And right at the start of the second there, when the Canucks score that goal, and from there, you could just kind of see the wind come out of their sails. And I thought that, as the game went on, the fatigue just became more apparent and more evident. And I mean, when you're tired, the things that start to go or your passing and your execution, and I think that's kind of what we saw. But you give them credit, you can tell they worked, they stuck with it, they wanted to be in that one, needed the power play to generate once again. I feel like that's been a real common theme as of late. If they could have gotten a power play goal in that game, that would have been very helpful, to say the least. But they had some good opportunities, and there was a couple of plays where you get a bounce one way or the other. other than where the puck ended up going, then it could very easily result in a goal. So, I mean, a tough one, obviously, for the group, but you look at the stretch of games that they've played, and, I mean, we're on the road with them, so we know what their schedule has been like, and it's been absolutely crazy. So, credit them for pushing back and trying to stay in this one, but you have to credit Dan Vladar as well, who I thought was absolutely outstanding. And it's tough for a goaltender to come into a game and to play on the second end of a back-to-back with travel. But I thought that he made some real key saves and gave the team an opportunity to stay in the game. So I continue to love that internal competition between him and Dustin Wolf. And they're really pushing each other and have both been absolutely outstanding.
Yep, solid night for Dan Vladar between the pipes. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Which way are you leaning tonight, Mick?
Well, I'm going to go with Mackenzie Weegar. And he was one guy that I felt, you know, you couldn't see the fatigue in his game really at all. He made some, well, there was one pass that he missed, but if that's me being nitpicky, which I am always very nitpicky. I always was with my own play, and I am in my analysis too, I guess you could say. But I thought that he was solid and made some really poised plays once again. I've really liked his puck patience. He was solid defensively. And then obviously you look at the offense that he was looking to produce. Four shots, eight shot attempts, hit, and continues to play some really big minutes. So liked his game tonight.
So Mackenzie Weegar, your hardest working Flame in a 3-1 Flames loss to the Vancouver Canucks. A final thought for you, Mick. And now the Flames get a little bit of time to breathe. Not only do they have two games, but 2 days before their next game, Friday at home to Nashville. Then after that, they don't play until the following Tuesday. So we're on Tuesday now, one game in the next week, a little bit of time for the Flames to catch their breath as they start off a four-game homestand Friday night.
Yeah, definitely some much-needed rest coming up, especially with the travel. And, I mean, that wreaks havoc on your body in addition to playing in the NHL. So I think it's going to be nice for the guys to be at home, to get some rest, to, you know, sleep in your own bed, and just to also get some practices in. I think that's often understated, and that when you play a lot of games, you don't practice much, so you don't get as many puck touches, and that's where you can start to see execution slip and slide a little bit as well. So be good for them to get that rest and to get some time to get some practice in and kind of dial in some of the details of their game that they want to.
Good stuff, Mick. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you, hey.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, as we start to sign things off from Vancouver. Flames fall 3-1 in this game against the Vancouver Canucks. Our marquee matchup tonight in the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota was a rematch of that epic night one showdown between the Flames and Canucks, where the Flames, you know, erased that 4-1 lead, came back and won 6-5 in overtime when it was all said and done. No comeback magic tonight. You know, it's not always going to happen that way. Flames trailing after 40 minutes once again, which has been a little bit too common a theme this year. I think you understand the reasons for it a little bit more in this game. But, you know, one of those scenarios where trailing after 40 minutes of play, and they were trailing after 40 on October 9th when they came back and beat the Canucks in that game. But you're not always going to be able to find that comeback magic, and you're not always going to be able to erase multi-goal leads, so on and so forth. And so I think that a couple of things. Different circumstances than game one, but it was the first game for both teams, fresh coming off training camp, all that type of stuff. But the other part is don't, you know, we're talking a lot about the Flames and, you know, were they a little sloppy tonight? They were they clearly fatigued tonight? Yes, absolutely. But let's also not forget the other team, because the Canucks remembered two things. A, they remembered what happened in their last game when they had their doors blown off by the Oilers. And they also remember what happened on October 9th, too. Like, they, you can bet that Rick Tocchet and Quinn Hughes and the rest of that leadership group in the Canucks room was thinking, okay, we know what happened last time we played these guys. We've already experienced firsthand what these guys are capable of doing, even when they're trailing. And I give the Canucks credit. You know, they didn't allow much of anything at all in that third period. They didn't really make Lankinen work all that much. Just the one slot opportunity from the Flames in that first period. Third period. So the Canucks did a nice job of locking that one down, keeping things to the outside after they gained the 3-1 lead. So, you know, the other team comes into it as well, and you can bet the Canucks remembered what happened the last time these two teams met. That was our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. This is your Flames Talk postgame show with the phone lines wide open at 403-240-4444. We've got one line open if you want to chat tonight, so give us a call, 403-240-4444, and get your texts in as well. Keep those coming throughout the night at 960-960. Let's go back to Rogers Arena in Vancouver. Head coach Ryan Huska just wrapped up following a 3-1 loss to the Canucks. Here's the head coach.
Tonight is and how it starts to unfold throughout the course of the evening.
I thought the work ethic was there from our guys, but some of the decision-making wasn't the greatest. I think that's what got us into trouble at certain times. We were coming off a stretch where we played a lot. And I think in those situations, that's where the team's got to learn to simplify at times and don't put yourself in a bad position with some of the puck play. So the first period, I thought we did a pretty good job early on. And then the start of the second period, once they scored their power play goal, I thought we were on our heels for about 10 minutes because of some of the puck management type things.
Did you feel like you fought that back, though, before the end of that second period? We weathered it?
We started to get back into the game again, and I thought the third period we pushed. Again, a resilient team that pushed. So it's just, you know, learning from your games like this or situations like this that you still have to find more, and a lot of that means it's just play a simpler brand of hockey and make sure you're not putting yourself in a position where you have to try to make up for an unforced error.
Knowing how heavy the schedule's been of late, how difficult is it to try and crawl back into a game when in that third period?
Well, it's the way it is. You have to do it. If you want to win and you want to get to where we want to be, you have to find a way to win these games, so that's all part of it, and that's something that we have to be better at next time.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. And you can say that about both of our goalies this year. They've both been really good for us. So I felt like after the second period, we talked with the guys that we've managed to hang around a little bit. And a lot of that is the goaltender that made some saves, kept us in it.
And on the other end, you have to tip your hat too, because you did create some looks and Lincoln had to come
up. Yeah, especially at the end. Like, I thought there were stretches in the third period where if we could have found a way to get one by him, maybe the momentum would have shifted a little bit more to our side, but he made some saves.
That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game in Vancouver following a 3-1 loss to the Canucks. Flames now get a couple of days off, full day off Wednesday, practice Thursday, and then 7 o'clock Friday night against the Nashville Predators. Okay, we are underway on your Flames Talk postgame show this evening. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Phone now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. We'll jump in, start interacting with you pretty shortly. More trips inside the Flames locker room and a whole lot more. Pat Steinberg along with you. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And your Flames Talk postgame show is live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, Flames fall 3-1 on the road in Vancouver tonight. Point streak snapped at 4. And the season series between the Flames and Canucks split now, one game apiece with two more games to come. Next one, New Year's Eve back in Calgary. Both games in Vancouver done. Two more games between these two teams at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Okay, Flames Talk postgame is underway. It's Pat Steinberg along with you with the phone lines open at 403-240-4444 and the text line open at 960-960. Thought the Flames, and you heard Ryan Huska say it a little earlier here on Flames Talk postgame, they fought hard. I mean, at no point did you feel like the Flames were dogging it. At no point did you feel like they were lazy or weren't working. They worked their tails off. Just sometimes, we all know how it is. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. It doesn't matter how hard you work sometimes. You just don't have it, and things don't work for you. And, you know, fatigue for all of us can play a part in that, and that could very well have been the case in this game tonight. It happens, and they weren't able to fight all the way through it, you know, and you heard Kevin Rooney say it, you heard Ryan Huska say it, it's not an excuse, But I'll one of the only things I ever took from Mike Keenan's time as head coach of the Flames was one of his sayings, and he said this a lot. They aren't excuses, they're reasons. And I will always go back to that. So no, you never use them as an excuse. As Ryan Huska said, you know, it's not an excuse. If you want to get to where they want to go, you got to fight through fatigue. You got to find a way in games when maybe you don't have it for whatever reason. But, and that's fair enough. But I'll always go back to, yeah, you know what? Not excuses, but reasons why they lost this game. And you can't tell me that playing five games in eight nights with travel wasn't at least somewhat of a reason. And we're not making excuses for the team at all, but it is the fact of the matter. That was the case. And I think that you could have circled this one, especially with a big, emotional, really impressive, well-played game last night against Los Angeles. I think you probably could have circled this one as a scheduled loss for the Flames going in. That's okay. They get a couple days off. And as we all know, you have to respond well to losses. You have to find ways to get points on nights when maybe you're not at their best. They did that against Boston. They did that against Buffalo. They were able to get the 2 points, deservedly so, against Los Angeles. Unable to get this thing to extra time, regulation loss tonight. Okay, phone lines are open. We got a phone line open right now at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960 as well. Let's continue getting some post-game reaction from the Flames dressing room as Justin Kirkland scored their only goal tonight. He just finished up at Rogers Arena in Vancouver.
That's what you saw out there tonight. Was the factor?
I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of fatigue, but that's no excuse. We know what we're getting into. You know, for the first and the third period, I think we liked our game as a group. Got away from it a little bit in the second there, and, you know, that ended up costing us the game.
Tyson just talked about the start. You know, obviously knowing they had a couple of days off, you guys were on a back-to-back. You felt like you kind of did what you wanted to in the first, just in terms of setting the standard.
Yeah, I think we're playing the right way, and you know, the things that we talked about before the game and addressed on how we wanted to play, I thought we executed that in the first. So it was tough. We couldn't keep that momentum going, but, you know, some good things to build off of still.
As you're trying to fight back in the third period, what are you seeing in terms of, you know, what they're allowing and just trying to, you know, find a little offense?
Yeah, they're up a couple goals. We know that they're going to lock it down. So, you know, trying to find a greasy goal, get guys to the nets, get pucks through. They did a good job of blocking shots and stuff like that, but, you know, unfortunately fell short.
Difficult portion of the schedule, we know that, 3 games and 4 nights. You know, maybe how do you look at the next few days and maybe a little softer part of the schedule in terms of the number of games?
Yeah, it'll be nice to, you know, have a little bit of rest tomorrow, you know, away from the rink, and it's been busy. But it's been fun, and every team goes through that at some stretch. So, you know, you got to make sure you're taking care of yourself over this next little bit where we got, I think it's one game in the next 6 nights or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, take advantage of that time and get some rest, but also keep hammering the fundamentals that we've been talking about.
It is indeed one game in the next 6 nights. They play Friday against Nashville, then not again until Tuesday. That's Justin Kirkland post-game inside the Flames locker room. Just before we get to our text line and phone lines tonight, it's time for the save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. Second night of a back-to-back. Dan Vladar gets the start. Looked very good. Thought he gave the team an opportunity to fight back. Obviously, they weren't able to fight back, but Dan Vladar gave him that shot in this game tonight. And our save of the game from Dan comes in period number one.
Puck can be on the Flames net. Ball will bounce it up to near boards. Sharangovich gives it to Kadri, who cuts to the middle. And is now poke-checked by Garland as Pettersson holds the puck in. Pettersson spins and throws a blind pass up the far boards, and Garland will grab it and move it across. Pettersson to Hoglander, and Vladar flashes the leather and makes a fantastic trapper stop.
When it's all said and done, that's one of the 29 stops made by Dan Vladar tonight, and that is his save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. As the Flames continue to get quality goaltending from both their guys, they got it again tonight. I thought that Dan Vladar was one of their best players, and he's given them an opportunity to win in every one of his starts so far. He hasn't won every start so far, but I think you take a look at what he's done so far. This was, for Dan, his 9th start of the season, And in all nine starts, I think he's given you quality work, a quality start. We always talk about quality starts in baseball. Well, I think you can apply it to goaltending and hockey, and I think that he gave them a quality start once again. So Flames don't play again until Friday when they take on Nashville. You probably go back to Dustin Wolf. Then they don't play again until Tuesday, but then they've got three games in 5 days again. So you're going to need to keep both goaltenders fresh, and you're going to see a steady dose of both of Wolf and Vladar for the time being, as you should, because the Flames have gotten good goaltending from both. Okay, let's go to the text line at 960-960 on this Tuesday night. 3-1 final score. Flames lose to Vancouver. This reads, what have you thought of Miramanov overall this season so far? When he was acquired, I kept hearing about his offensive upside, but I haven't seen too much of that so far, minus a few flashes. I agree that offensive upside has not been there on a regular basis. I found on too many occasions Miramanov to kind of just blend in. Now, I also think that that's not a bad thing when you're playing with Mackenzie Weegar, because you've got, look, and this is no knock on Miramanov, but Weegar's the better of the two on that pairing. Weegar's the driver of that pairing. Weegar's one of Calgary's two best defensemen. And so if you get lost a little bit with McKenzie, I think as a coach, as a fan, you're okay with Miramanov kind of blending in a good way, not making mistakes, allowing Weegar to be a little more active, allowing Weegar to walk the line, all that type of stuff. So I think that is okay. You're okay with that. I guess what I would say from Miramanov is that I feel like he is starting to settle in. I actually didn't mind him at all in this game tonight. I know he fell on that one play, and that ended up giving, I think it was, who was that? I think it was Sherwood who got the opportunity. Teddy Bluger, thank you, Azam. It was Bo Horvat's old number. That's what I remember vividly. I'm like, Horvat doesn't play for the Canucks anymore. No, Bluger wears 53 now. And he stopped Teddy Bluger on that. Vladar stopped Teddy Bluger on that breakaway after Miramanov fell down. But for the most part, other than that, you know, one unfortunate mistake, which it happens to everybody, I thought actually Miramanov played pretty well. I thought that pairing of him and Weegar had a pretty solid game as well. I know I asked Ryan Huska about that going into the game yesterday, just about how he's liked his pairings. Are they starting to mesh? Third pairing remains a work in progress. You've got Bean, you've got Hanley, who are sitting tonight. You've got Barry. Obviously, Pahal's kind of been your one steady force there on the right side, but the third pairing's been a little bit of a work in progress, but feels like Weegar, Miramanov starting to get back a little bit closer to the way they played down the stretch last year when they were really good together. So if that continues to grow, I think then maybe you start to see a little bit more from Miramanov when it comes to the offensive side of things. So I guess what I would say is, so far, I've been, you know, over 17 games. I know he's played fewer than the 17 because he was healthy scratched a couple of times. So tonight was game 15 for Miramanov. But in his 15-game sample size, I would say generally underwhelming, but getting better over the last little bit. And if that continues to progress, maybe we start to see a little bit more offense from him. This from Kyle, who says, evening, Pack. Thanks for correcting my text last game mid-text. You're on point with editing on the go. I think tonight was a really good learning experience for the group. They've identified a weakness with back-to-back games. Now they can improve on it. They were tired. No sugarcoating it. When you're tired, mistakes happen. Can't be upset about it. I think it's a testament to their talent and work ethic. They were in this game the entire way. Vladar was unreal. Him and Wolf as a tandem is working really well. I'm going to stay positive tonight and leave it at that, except to say the refereeing was excellent tonight. I don't think I've said that before. I mean that seriously. One of the better called games. Thanks for reading my messages, Pat. As difficult as they can be at times, hope you enjoy your week. That comes from Kyle. Always a pleasure reading your messages, Kyle. I actually didn't even think about the officiating, thought it was fine. Definitely nothing that I really was thinking was egregious or anything like that when it's all said and done. On the back-to-back games, but this was more than just a back-to-back. It was 3-4 and 5-8 with a back-to-back to wrap it up. Like, that is a meat grinder of a schedule. Scotty in Victoria says, valiant effort, but Van was simply the better team. Beat in every stat tonight significantly. They need to get this power play going, and I'd love to see Huska utilize Pospisil on the wing or a different line. Much needed break for the boys before Nashville on Friday. Talk then, Pat. Have a good night. The Pospisil center ice situation is continuing to be a bit of a sore spot. It's not consistently working. Thought it was really rough in the first two periods, especially the second period. They don't have another center that they're willing to use right now unless they're willing to go to Zeri. And to this point, that has not been something that they have been, you know, super willing to do. All that being said, they did fight hard. Last thing I'd say on Scotty's text is, in a game like tonight, when they didn't have it, when they were not on it for whatever reason, doesn't matter. Over an 82-game season, all 32 teams are going to have multiple nights where they don't have it. And there's different reasons for it. Maybe it's just an off night. Maybe they were out too late the night before. Maybe they're just tired because of the schedule. All of this happens to all 32 teams. On nights when you don't have it, though, a power play goal can be the total difference in finding a way to scratch out a point and not getting anything at all. And a power play goal in the second or third period for Calgary, maybe this is a different game. Maybe momentum is slightly a little less with Vancouver. Maybe the Canucks feel a little less comfortable in the third period. It's closer to a one goal game. That would be what I would say on the power play side of things. This says from Joel and Cranston, Pat, you can sum up tonight's game in a few words. 3 giveaways, 3 goals. I don't think I've seen a game when Anderson doesn't have a blatant giveaway. I do not think he's going to be on Team Sweden. Everybody else does seem to think he will be on Team Sweden. So I still think he will and should be. This from Dylan in Revelstoke. Wasn't a good game. The effort was there like it always is, but they got outskilled and looked exhausted. I miss the days JT was consistently causing Canucks losses. I bet Raz is kicking himself for that goal against. Really shouldn't have tried to regroup when he did. Vladar played very well. Hopefully Logo gave you the biggest hug. Be good, Patty. That comes from Dylan. He didn't give me a hug. I'm not going to lie. No hug from Logo. I know Dylan wanted Logo to give me a hug. I didn't get it. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, was game one the only game the Flames won after trailing after two periods this season? Yeah, the Flames are, when trailing after 40 minutes of play this year, they are 1-4-2. And that one game was game one in Vancouver where they were down 4-2 after 40 minutes of play. This from Ryan in Okotoks. Just not enough left in the tank tonight to overcome a very determined Canucks team. Vladar had another incredible game. Hughes was as shifty as ever tonight. What a dynamic player. Anderson, however, was an absolute turnover machine. I hope the coaching staff starts holding him accountable for his gaffes. They always seem to end up in the back of their net. Might be wise to pump him and deal him at the deadline for a haul. That's from Ryan and Okotoks. I disagree that I think Anderson had a good game tonight. Not particularly. However, I do think that, I mean, look, I think this guy is a core player for him going forward. I think that he's the type of guy that has been drafted and developed by the organization. If Rasmus wants to stay, I'm very adamantly in the camp that they should try to extend him to a long-term deal. I know not everybody is, but that's where I stand. This from Ash. I thought today's game was a scheduled loss with the exception of the second Canucks goal. I thought Huberdeau had another strong game. In your opinion, should the Flames acquire another top nine forward in light of Mantha's injury and being a bottom 10 team offensively as far as goals per game are concerned, or should they continue with the same top nine? I mean, I guess my answer would be twofold. My first answer would be no, they should not. I would much rather them, you know, continue to give Matt Coronato opportunities in the top nine and let him, good and bad, continue to develop in that role. That would be what I would like to see. In saying that, if there's somebody that can fit their age range that is not only going to be acquired for right now and for the rest of this season and not kind of a only immediate type acquisition, and somebody that can, you know, be with this group long-term and who fits the age range long-term, then I'm a little more for it. Kind of like that center iceman that we've been talking about. But no, I don't think that just because they've lost Mantha, they should go out and try to plug that hole with anybody. In fact, I think I would like to see Coronato given a long run in the top nine before they, you know, even if he struggles, I think it would be nice to see Coronato have the opportunity to work his way out of it and develop in that role, whether it's on the backline line or elsewhere. This says, think it was said a few times tonight that the team looked gassed and it was noticeable. Still a good effort against a good team, and goaltending was still their biggest strength. The further they get into the season, albeit, hold on a second, just got to go back and hit the refresh button. There we go. Still a good effort against a good team, and goaltending was still their biggest strength. The further they get into the season, albeit it's still early, the more I'm being a nice, winning, hardworking culture being instilled in the young players and the vets leading by example. Can only say the future looks bright, and hoping more of the youngsters on the farm will get their looks up here, and knowing they have a lot of future picks, that's only an added bonus. Text line remains open at 960-960 on this Tuesday night. Flames lose by a 3-1 score in Vancouver to wrap up a really grueling stretch of 5 games in 8 nights. Couple more texts for you at 960-960 before we hit the text line. Hit the phone lines for the first time. Rick in Lakeview says, evening, Pat. Well, a tired team against a highly motivated, recently embarrassed team didn't pan out in their favor. The third goal was the death knell. Overall, I give kudos to the guys for energy and effort. Two recurrent glaring deficiencies. The power play is embarrassing. How they can be this poor is mind-boggling. Next, the tendency to play hand grenades while getting globetrotted in their own end. It might not be as deflating as the power play ineptitude, but it's remarkable. Scoop the puck up into the air, whatever, when you cannot seem to get pucks past the point, etc. Rasmus is a foot from the blue line when he decides to retreat behind the net with a guy all over him. Directly results in a goal. All too common. Go Flames, go. That comes from Rick in Lakeview. I mean, there was that stretch in the second period, specifically there was the second period stretch with Barry and Pahal out there where they got caught running around, a little bit on the Brännström goal that really sealed this one. For sure, there were a few shifts like that tonight. Brendan says, does this lack of scoring concern you? I mean, I don't know if it concerns me. I think it is something that we kind of expected coming into the year, that scoring might be at times something that is a little bit of a difficult thing for them. They definitely have run into a situation where they haven't been able to, you know, build on leads or you know, finish a lot of opportunities when they've been really good. But I don't think that's overly unexpected. This says, this game was on the other side of the spectrum of the Flames compared to yesterday. Seemed like the Canucks were a step ahead all night and they couldn't clear their zone. I do expect better, but at the core, I respect the team and the rebuild. This says, Pat, any thoughts on Rooney and Barry tonight? I actually thought Rooney was quite strong. I thought that fourth line was quite strong with him, Kirkland, and Lomberg. Thought that they were consistently on it. They were the only line tonight that finished in the black when it comes to their 5-on-5 possession. They were out there for 2 high dangers, 4, 0 against. They were out there for 7 shot attempts, 4, 5 against. And they scored Calgary's only goal, didn't have one against. So I thought Rooney was strong. I thought Lomberg was strong. I thought Kirkland was strong. That was probably their best line in this game. This is Adam from Vancouver who says, was at the game tonight. 5 games in 8 days with travel really showed. They were skating in sand. Faceoffs were atrocious. All blame fatigue. Power play, no comment. Vladar was solid. Rasmus and Weegs both had good energy and made sound decisions. Despite the glaring mistakes, Canucks didn't look that great, so at least the Flames stuck with it all night and still made the Canucks earn it. That comes from Adam from Vancouver. By the way, Flames are just 39% in the faceoff dot tonight. And finally, this from Evangelos in Bankview. This isn't a developmental league. Pospisil's a winger. Spend some money on a bona fide center, which they have. What a joke. Not a big fan of Pospisil playing down the middle is Evangelos. So give us a call at 403-240-4444. Phone lines are open. Text line remains open. Keep those coming at 960-960 as well. But to the phone lines we go for the first time tonight following a 3-1 Flames loss on the road in Vancouver. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show this evening. And we kick it off by saying hello to George tonight following this loss in Vancouver. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. Hope you're doing well tonight.
You too, buddy. How are we doing?
Doing good. Hopefully I'm sounding good tonight.
You sound good.
Excellent. Man, the goaltending continues to be such a massive strength through this team. I thought Vladar was great tonight. And the goaltending in general has far exceeded my expectations. Not that I thought they would be bad, but, you know, to throw those two goaltenders to the Wolves like that, for both of them to never be in a situation that they've never been in before, I mean, you got to have a lot of respect and kudos to both Dustin Wolf and Dan Vildar. They've probably been the biggest strength of this team through 17 games.
I would say that that would be probably a fair assessment.
Yeah, and it's just really good to see. I know a lot of people thought, well, like once Markstrom was gone, that was it. But, you know, like it's funny because Vancouver did the same thing, right? They decided not to bring Markstrom back because they had a young Thatcher Demko in the waiting, and then a similar situation with us with Dustin Wolf and to, you know, a lesser extent, Dan Vladar. You know, they're bringing Cooley now. So I know we talked about the strength of goaltending in general in the organization before, but it's nice to keep see it coming through. It's a real good plus. Onto the power play. Look, obviously it needs to be way better, but at the same time, Patty, we have to look at do they really have the personnel to have a top-notch power play in the league? Sometimes I feel like this team gets too much criticism based on the roster that we have. Am I wrong in that assessment?
I think that their power play could be better than what it is. I don't think we should be expecting the power play to be a top five, top 10 power play. Hell, even necessarily in the top half of the league, but for them to be as inept as they've been, I think that it's fair to expect more than the, you know, 27th overall power play at 15.2%. So, you know, I think that it can be better or needs to be better, should be better than what it is with the personnel they have. You know, I don't think that they have the personnel that, you know, you take a look at a Ducks power play or an Islanders power play with all that they're missing and some of the other PPs that they're down around. It can be better than 27th. How much better? You know, could it be 17th? Yeah, if it could get into the middle, you know, middle tier, that is where I think it should be and where it could be, and it isn't.
For certain. So then my next question to you is, do you think the lack of power play production is more a systemic thing? What do you think, what in your mind do you think is the cause of this?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, I still think that Huberdeau not being who we thought he might be, I think plays into it a little bit. I think that their Kuzmenko's kind of inconsistency plays into it. Uyghur hasn't been as dangerous from the point. I think that maybe plays into it a little bit. I don't know. And in the end, I don't ever expect them to have a top-tier power play. They don't have the elite players to have a top-tier power play. I just also don't think that they are bad enough to be 27th overall. So I think that there's some overthinking going on, especially from that number one unit. I don't know. This is just from the outside. I don't know if they have got the right guys on the right units as entrymen. Like, I wonder if putting Zeri on that number one unit to be the primary entry guy might help things up a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot of different little things that would play into it. And again, you don't have a McDavid, you don't have a McKinnon, you don't have a Pastrnak, even though Boston's power play is putrid as well. You don't have some of the power play specialists and high-end players that really eat and get their points 5-on-4. They don't have those guys. I do think it can be better than what it is.
Yeah, for sure. I think at this point it wouldn't be a bad idea to try mix it up. I at this point you have nothing to lose. It doesn't seem like it's going to get worse, right? So hopefully not anyway. So at this point I would mix it up if I were the coaching staff, but you know, we'll see. Like I said, I think sometimes they get a little bit too much criticism based on the roster they have too. And it's exactly the point that you made, right? We don't expect them to be a top five power play, but they don't have personnel that's bad enough that they should be where they're at either. So, like, you know, you make very valid points there. I think the same could go for the penalty kill, too. I think that suffered, too, but you can understand why, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Well, my friend, like I said, I was...
Oh, and I just would say one other thing when it comes to power play that just popped into my mind. Face-offs. Power play face-offs have been really, really poor. Just overall, face-offs have been really poor for this group. And so, you know, that also is a, you know, that's a big part of being successful on a power play, because they are having such trouble with entries. Winning the offensive zone faceoff to start one off could be really huge. And this team on the power plays have not won a lot of faceoffs. This team overall has not won a lot of faceoffs. So I would put that as a big reason why they have not had a lot of success on the power play either.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like I said, you know, you never as a Flames fan like to lose to two teams in particular, Edmonton and Vancouver. But I will say, you know, it wasn't for lack of effort tonight. They tried. They did look wore out. It's not, like you said, it's not an excuse. It's a reason. But, you know, I applaud them for the fight. And that's how, you know, that's how I feel like it's going to go this year. Sometimes they're just not going to have enough. Sometimes the other team's going to be better. But, you know, as long as they keep playing the way they're playing, you can't really complain as a Flames fan. Well, I can't anyway. So yeah. It was good talking to you. I'm guessing you're missing the next call-in show with Nashville, correct?
Yes, I will not be here for Friday's game. Maddie and Logo will take care of that one.
All right, my man. Well, have fun at the Grey Cup. Safe travels if you are traveling. I hope you enjoy it. That's going to be an awesome experience for you, and we'll talk the next go-around.
Thank you, buddy. I'm looking forward to it. Have a good night, George.
You too, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. 403-240-4444 as the Flames fall 3-1 in Vancouver. Well, obviously, this was this person was going to call. Sarah texts in all the time as our favorite Canucks fan and is with us right now on Flames Talk postgame. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Did you have fun yesterday with Adnan?
I did. It was super neat having him in town. First time for Logo and I meeting him. That was super cool.
Well, apparently he hasn't been here in like 2 decades or some ridiculous amount of time.
Yes, correct.
So, no, I texted in yesterday when Logo had him on. So don't worry. I was all on top of all of the Adnan information in your life.
Nice. He's as awesome in person as he is on the show.
That actually is more irritating than anything else. It's sometimes nice when you find out that like someone's actually an awful person in
like
real
when
life.
It's like never meet your heroes type thing. Yeah, Adnan exactly. was as awesome in person as he is on the phone.
Well, that's actually nice to hear, because he always has such nice things to say about Canada in general. So Pat, I have to say, typically I'm in a much happier mood when I get to like call in and be like, oh, my team, they won tonight. Yes. But clearly you can tell one team like got spanked last game and the other team was coming off of like playing last night. And yeah, it's less fun to call in when there's clearly a reason for both teams looking the way they did tonight.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I keep on saying. That's what I've said a few times, is that, you know, the Flames did not have their A game tonight. Zero doubt about that. They really fought it, and there are reasons for that, but they fought it and they weren't able to find a way through it. And then on the other side, not only were the Flames in a, you know, difficult situation schedule wise, but the Canucks were also really fired up, really motivated, and played a really good game. So the other team has a say in these things too, and Vancouver definitely had a say in how this game went.
Yes, and I'm not going to lie. After Saturday, I think a few Canucks fans right now are probably breathing a sigh of relief, being like, okay, it was just like an Edmonton situation, not a our team suddenly sucks again. Because there definitely was some swearing in my house, and my poor daughter got to hear some choice words at the end of the first tonight when I thought we were going down a similar path.
Right. Well, how old's your daughter?
She'll be 9 next month.
Okay, well, she's probably heard these words before then.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, from me even, like, not, don't worry. This wasn't new stuff here,
okay.
Pat.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Just
okay.
Some clearly choice words tonight. And I've raised her right. She's definitely a Canucks fan. She has her favorite player. And she looked at me and she was like, she just kind of shook her head and then left to the room after that.
Right.
Yeah. But overall, I have to say, like, I, as much as it pains me to ever give the Flames like some credit, I was a little bit surprised to see that they kind of came out with some jump tonight, given that they did play last night. It wasn't a, it wasn't like an easy, like they were playing two back-to-backs at home or anything either. So I was a little bit surprised. And I think that that just kind of speaks to kind of how they've been all season so far is, they know they're kind of going into most games as that underdog. And I think that's got them a little bit more fired up in some games. Especially like, obviously I watch my Vancouver games a little bit more closely or when they're playing, some of those like higher caliber teams, but they've definitely looked, like they want to win, not just that they're like there as also rans this year.
Right. And I mean, we'll see how the rest of the year progresses, but they play hard. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's all. I was just, you know, I knew I was going to be calling in tonight. And as I said, I was a little bit more excited about it, but hopefully for New Year's, I get to call in with a little bit more joy in my voice. So
well, we'll be celebrating the ringing in of 2025 anyway. So you won't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sounds good, Pat. You have a good night.
Thanks, Sarah.
And hopefully you have a good time at the Grey Cup.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be awesome.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Okay, Sarah, be well. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. I got a few phone lines open if you want to chat on this Tuesday night as the Flames fall 3-1 on the road in Vancouver. Jordan is with us. What's going on, Jordan?
Hey, Pat. I want to apologize in advance if I sound a little crappy or whatever. I might be coming down with something, so hopefully I sound okay.
You sound just fine, but I hope you're not coming down with something.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. How are you doing?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I thought, of course, like, glad they were working hard and everything. I didn't get to watch. I listened to most of the first. Sounded okay from what I was hearing. I mean, obviously, we scored, which was great. And then, of course, it was the second period where we regressed a little bit. And then I really thought we had a chance to come back in the third. You know, we had a lot of chances and all that. But obviously, again, I don't have to – it's not unknown to everyone that we had the back-to-back game and they looked tired and everything. But I still thought they came out with some good effort and, you know, did what they could. But of course,
there was definitely no concern about their effort or the way that they competed. I mean, they definitely came to play in that regard, and there was no work ethic issues. But sometimes you just don't have it on any given night, and they didn't have it on this night, and they happen sometimes. And you know, I think that the message from Ryan Huska is still a valid one, that you know, this is going to be they're going to have other nights this season where they don't have it, and so you have to find ways to work through it and find ways regardless. But tonight they weren't able to do so, and so now they get a little bit of a less crazy schedule as they get ready to host Nashville on Friday night.
Yeah, hopefully the rest, and I mean, obviously they'll be practicing and hopefully practicing hard and everything, but obviously the rest from game speed hopefully will be
Well, I mean, they'll practice. Yeah. They only practice the one time before Friday. They have the entire Wednesday off. I think they've also got the entire Sunday off. So they'll have some rest days, which they very sorely need as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's great. That's good for them. Yeah. And then, yeah, I thought, again, like the goaltending, I mean, of course, Vladar did really good and kept them in it for most of them. And it's not that the Flames, like, got goalied. I thought, why am I blanking on that? Lankinen did really good as well, which was just unfortunate for us. I mean, obviously, he's been solid for Vancouver in that, so...
Yeah, he played well, and yeah, I'm with you. I don't think the Flames got goalied in this game. They lost to the team that was the better squad tonight, but Lankinen was a part of that for sure. He played well, too.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, of course, sometimes that's just what you run into, but, you know, yeah, I think it's good that the Flames will get some rest. What was it,
five games in 8 nights, yep.
8 nights, yeah, that's easy. So, you know, for what it was, like, obviously they went out, they put out a good effort, and, you know, they can do what they can do. Obviously, Vancouver coming back. It was funny, I was actually out in Vancouver the night, and they had it on some of the screens, and I'm like, these guys are going to be, they're going to be fired up when they come, or when we're in town, and then, of course, you know, what happens is that's exactly what happens. So anyways, you know, we did what we could do. It was an unfortunate game, but I still thought the effort was there, and I'm glad it was still a fun watch. Like, I'm still thinking these Flames are fun to watch when they're playing, you know, hard games like that. So not too disappointed other than the loss, of course. So yeah.
All right, Jordan, I appreciate the call as always, man. We will, we'll talk soon.
Of course. Hey, hopefully you have fun out here when you're here for the Grey Cup. I'm still trying to, if I can find my way to the game, I might, but I don't know if I can quite do that, but hopefully you have fun out here. So
I'm bright and early tomorrow morning. I'm out to Vancouver, so I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Awesome. Safe travels, my friend.
Okay, Jordan. Talk soon, man.
Take it easy.
Thanks, man. One more call before we hit a pause, but the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text lines open at 960-960 as well. Keep your calls coming and keep your texts coming on this Tuesday night. Anand is up next with us. What's up, buddy?
Good evening, buddy. How are you?
Good, bud. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to complain as well about how they play tonight. Even though not the result we wanted, definitely on a back-to-back affair. And I think they played overall great together, especially with Justin Kirkland scoring. And then that fourth line did decently well. And then we had a couple other good chances, especially with Huberto trying to score a goal but hit the post and all. The one only concern for you, do you agree with me? So we talk about how the power play hasn't been the great. Do you think the penalty killing also hasn't been great compared to last season so far?
Yes. Flames have been generally a very strong penalty killing team for the better part of the last half decade. You know, last year they were very good in it. And it has not been a strong suit. They're both 27th overall on the power play and the penalty kill right now. 28th overall on the power play, 27th overall on the penalty kill. So look, 5-on-5 is the most important part of any team's game, and the Flames have been generally pretty decent at 5-on-5. But you can't, you're not going to win a lot of games if your special teams are both in the basement, and that's kind of where the Flames are. 28th on the power play, 27th on the penalty kill. I think we are maybe a little less surprised on the power play front just because it struggled for a good chunk of last year too. The penalty killing is a little bit of a surprise. Now, there is a new coach. Brad Larson is running it as opposed to Lambert last year. But, you know, I I'm not trying to pin that on Larson at all, by the way, because I don't think, you know, it's still Ryan Huska running it and Lambert is still on the team. So I don't think it's a coaching thing, honestly. It has not been as good or effective. And so they've got to work on some reasons why.
Yeah, gotcha. Fair enough. And then, Vladar and Dustin Wolf, they continue to impress as well on how amazing they have been. One other question for you. So in terms of making changes, if it's like a power play, do you think putting like a Zari or maybe on the power play unit one works?
Yeah, I mean, I would have no problem with that. I certainly think that Zari being on... First of all, I wonder if spreading it out a little bit and not having a clear one and two unit might be something that could help them a little bit. So I wonder a little bit about that. But also, I wonder about if you are going to still have a clear one and two unit, which they kind of do right now. I do wonder about putting Zeri on the quote-unquote number one unit. I say that because I think he's their best guy on entries on the team, and entries, especially if faceoffs, are going to continue being such a problem for them. I think entries are the other main thing that they're really struggling with. So, I would be all for putting Zeri there. Who you'd put him in for, I don't know. I mean, you could probably think about putting him in for Coronado. If you wanted to start changing it up a little bit, I'd have no problem if they put him in for Sharon Govich, who really hasn't been overly dynamic over the last little while. He's definitely still working back from injury. I understand that, but he's kind of the primary entry guy on the number one power play unit. So I wonder if you could potentially think about putting Zeri there instead. So that's one of the things so that they could do. There's probably a lot of things that you could suggest right now on the power play that it would be hard to say no to because it has struggled so much.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. I think I like your point as well. And then finally, one question for you. So how have you seen Martin Pospisil's game? Do you think he has gotten a little bit more calmer taking those less penalties? How have you seen Martin Pospisil's game so far?
I mean, he's taken fewer penalties, that's for sure. I still am not enamored with him playing center, though. I still think that continues to be an area that has not been super strong. I thought he struggled at a lot of times in this game tonight. So I still think the center ice experiment with Pospisil needs to be heavily evaluated. And it's been a little bit better with Sharon Govich compared to Pospisil. I wouldn't say a lot better, but a little better. Problem with Pospisil is that when he's playing center, you potentially lose such a dangerous guy for you when it comes to his shot and what he can do offensively. So I think that factors in a little bit why maybe they haven't given him as much time as Pospisil at center. Right now, they don't have a fourth natural center unless they give Kirkland a little bit more time up the lineup. And I don't know if that's ideal, as good as the Kirkland story's been. So that's definitely been an issue, them not having that fourth center.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, agree. All right. Thanks, Pat. I'm going to ask you one off-topic question. Sorry to catch you off guard, but how excited are you for the Grey Cup coming here to Calgary in 2026?
Well, I'm excited for Sunday's game in Vancouver. That's why I'm not working on Friday's game. I've got the opportunity to go cover the game for the CFL website, who I've worked with for years. So I'm really looking forward to going to cover the Bombers and the Argos on Sunday. So that's a really, really fun opportunity I'm looking forward to getting the chance to do. And then as for it coming here, and how long have you been in Calgary for?
Since 2017, so about 8 or 9 years now. But I was born here too, so if you count that total, maybe 9 or 10 years now.
Okay. So the Grey Cup is just an awesome thing to come to your town. I really do. I know that I know that there are it's maybe not the CFL is maybe not the Premier League that it has been in the past, although I think that they are doing some good things to start to bring it back a little bit. The last time the Grey Cup was in Calgary was in 2019, and it was a real party. That was Winnipeg Hamilton when they were here in 2019. It's awesome when the Grey Cup, whether the Stampeders are playing in it or not, and they might have the opportunity. I mean, by 2026, they could be back to being a really good football team again after a couple of down years. But just having the Grey Cup in your city is a lot of fun. So I think, especially now that you're getting into covering sports and being in the scene and all that type of stuff, I think you'll really enjoy having the Grey Cup here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I asked you because I was at the press conference that they announced the Grey Cup coming here to Calgary last Friday, and then I met Azam Ali Nanji, Salim Al Nanji from TSN and all. So I just wanted to see what your take is on the Grey Cup. All right, sounds good, Pat. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have fun. Safe travels out to Vancouver, and then talk to you next week.
Okay, see you, and appreciate the call, buddy. Be well.
Yeah, thank you so much. You too.
Thanks, man. Okay. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. We'll put out the last call for phone calls. So if you want to chat on this Tuesday night, call now, 403-240-4444. You can also keep your text coming at 960-960. Flames lose 3-1 in Vancouver to wrap up a stretch of 5 games in 8 nights. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, it is last call for phone calls, your absolute last call. If you want to jump in, do so now, 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there, but this is your absolute last call. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, give us a call, 403-240-4444. Flames lose 3-1 on the road in Vancouver. Keep the text coming as well, 960-960. That's how you can get a hold of us via text. We'll get back to both the text line and phone lines in just a second, but first, our final trip inside the Flames locker room. Let's check in with defenseman Tyson Barry following tonight's 3-1 loss to the Canucks.
Tonight, things unfolded throughout the course of the night.
Yeah, I thought we had a good start and a good first period. We knew obviously they were going to be fresh, and you know, we're traveling in on a back-to-back, so we wanted to have a good start and just kind of smother them with our systems. I thought we did that early, and you know, obviously in the second period I think they took it to us a little bit, and early in the second got the momentum, and then you know, it was just I thought we had a good start to the third to try to make a push, and then they got one, and it just we didn't have enough to, you know, to make the comeback that we've been able to do so many times this year. So, a tough fought game, but just didn't have it.
When you look at just, to start the second, you know, they get that power play opportunity, just, you know, how do you try? And it seemed like you did kind of eventually hold that momentum that they established those 2 goals early.
Yeah, I thought the second period was probably theirs. I think they had the momentum, you know, at least for the first part of it for sure. And, you know, maybe we clawed it back a little bit at the end of the second. But, they get two there early, and then we're kind of chasing it again, and then they get one in the third. So just a little bit out of our reach.
Nice. Your goaltender sure gave you a chance, didn't he?
He did. He was outstanding tonight. Made some huge saves. He's been great all year. Both of them have. So kind of the backbone of the team, and no different tonight. He gave us a chance.
There you go. That is Tyson Barry, our final look inside the Flames locker room following this 3-1 loss in Vancouver tonight. On the text line, 960-960, this from one John who says, Pat, every power play starts with faceoffs. And then another John, and I do really think they are different numbers. Yes, they are different numbers. But another John says, Pat, can the Flames improve faceoffs by coaching, or will they always be this bad until that young center comes in? I think there is some coaching that can come into it. I think, you know, that's Matt Stajan, who's their skills coach, especially on home games, is working with the centers all the time and trying to see if and he's working with Kirkland. He's working with Pospisil, Sharon Govich, especially the guys who really need to work on their faceoffs. You know, Kadri Backlund are pretty established in this league. Not saying that, you know, faceoffs have been really good for anybody this year, but Stajan does do faceoff work with guys. That's one way you can do it. Extra work after practice, all that type of stuff. So there are some things you can do, but, you know, a lot of it is sometimes you got guys who are just better at it than others and who are more skilled at it than others. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Michael Backlund has really improved as time goes along in terms of his face-off, his face-off work and his percentage. He's definitely improved as time has gone on, because it was an area that he struggled with a little bit earlier in his career. Last year was up over 50%. The year before, in fact, four straight years, Backlund has been up over 50%. This year he's under at 47.6. But, you know, in the early stages of his career, Backlund was, you know, hovering around 47, that type of stuff. So Backlund's down a little bit when it comes to his face-offs. That is an area that he's gotten much better at over the years. But, you know, we're not talking about a Bergeron or that type. I mean, there are guys who are just, you know, really, really good at faceoffs. Nazem Kadri's career, 48.9%. He hasn't been over 50% going back to the 2021 season in Colorado. He's 46.3% this year, so he's under his average. They definitely need to be better in the faceoff dot. For guys like Backlund and Kadri, it's all about, you know, that. I don't know if those are things that you can coach for guys like Kirkland, for guys like Rooney, even definitely for guys like Sharon Govich and Pospisil, who have not played a lot of center in their time in the NHL. And there's maybe a little bit more skills coaching you can do in that regard. 960 on the text line. It's always open to you on our Flames Talk postgame show. And one more call to wrap us up as well. Following this 3-1 loss to the Canucks, we say hello to Ryan tonight. What's up, Ryan?
Hi, back to the evening. There's taking my call.
Could say that again.
Oh, sorry, Pat. Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. I just couldn't. I knew you were speaking English. I just couldn't pick up what you said. It was just a weird phone connection. What's going on? I'm doing well, and no problem. What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I'm just pulling back into downtown Vancouver where I live, and as I drive by BC Place, I can confirm that the city and the is excited to host you and the Grey Cup.
I've been to a Grey Cup in Vancouver before. You guys do it right there.
Excellent, glad to hear. Well, this will be my first one in Vancouver. I was out of town broadcasting junior hockey tonight, so as I come back into town, I'm listening. So thanks for everything you do. Appreciate it.
Ooh, who do you broadcast for?
For the PJHL Junior A Hockey Mission City Outlaws.
Okay, very nice in Mission City. Okay.
Anyway, here's my question. Actually, first a question for you. Do you subscribe to the old adage of in the NHL, anyone can beat anyone on any given night?
Yes, 100% I do, and never more so than it has been in recent years.
Cool. Excellent. I agree. So my thinking is, and I agree with everything that you've been saying and the rest of the callers have been saying about not excuses, but reasons. But my counter to that is take the top three teams in the NHL. So Winnipeg, Florida, and then fill in the blank or interchangeable. To me, when you see three games in four nights and you take a team like Winnipeg or a team like Florida, to me, that's not, you know, two wins and a loss or two losses and a win. To me, they could easily run the table. And if we both subscribe to the adage of anyone can beat anyone, that would suggest that it's not all a personnel thing. So my question, and a legitimate question, is what does it come down to? Is it systems? Is it mindset? Is it the ability to dig deeper? You know, these are world-class players that play on all teams, so it can't simply be, you know, personnel. And again, I agree with most of what was said, but there is a difference when you talk about the top three or four teams in the NHL, and why are we not there, in your opinion?
In terms, just in terms of like tonight and not being able to find a way with the fatigue, or just overall, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, overall. I mean, you know, over the last couple of years, if you take the Flames situations where they have three games in four nights, it's fairly easy that you can, you know, you can pinpoint one of those games to be a loss. And in my opinion, I don't see the same thing when you talk about the top.
Okay. So I just wanted to clarify so I could take a stab at answering it. I think first of all, I do think talent plays into it, because when you've got teams that have the highest end players, those are the teams that on nights when maybe not everybody has it, or maybe when there's fatigue that's kicked in or whatever the case may be, there's still one or two players that are good enough on their own that that can be the difference on that night. You know, I think the classic example would be Edmonton, and we've seen that before, but you take Florida or Winnipeg. I mean, I guess there are teams that can be that can still find ways to win games when they bring their B minus or C game, whereas some teams need to be on their A or A minus game to win most nights, right? And that's what, for me, one thing that really separates the good from the bad or the elite from the middle of the pack in this league is the ability to win when you're not at your best. And I don't think the Flames are there on a consistent basis. I mean, every team over the course of 82 games will win a few games when they're not at their best, but the teams that win 50, 55, those types of numbers, the teams that are really good, those teams are ones that, you know, they probably win 10, 11, 12 games over the course of a year when they weren't at their best. And they win playoff games when they're not at their best. Because in a grueling sport like this, when you're playing four nights a week sometimes, you're just not going to be at your best over the course of 82. You're not going to be at your best as you try to win 16 games in the spring every single night. So that ability to have a goaltender steal a game or a player take over a game or just everybody bear down and grit through the cement legs or whatever the case may be, that is one of the things. And I think it is a roster talent type thing. The good teams that are the best built, the most deep teams, usually are the ones that find the way more often than not.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's good. See, my thinking was when you take, you know, we both subscribe to anyone can beat anyone. In my mind, that would almost nullify, I don't want to say nullify talent, because you're right. A team like Winnipeg is so much deeper than, you know, the other teams in the league. But my thinking is there had to be something else as well. But yes, that's a point very well made. So, anyway, if you take, you know, some other stuff in terms of gritting it out and digging deep, and even little things like the faceoffs, when you're in a situation like this where you're, you know, depth-wise and roster-wise, somewhere in the middle of the pack, that just really has to be dialed in my opinion. So it would be great to see them focus on that going into the stretch, because we've definitely seen points of it throughout the year.
Right, and I mean, the one thing that I think will help this team when it comes to being able to maybe win some of those games on a more regular basis, I think one of the things that'll help them is the fact that they do work their tails off, and that work ethic has kind of been non-negotiable for them on most nights. And so that work ethic, that commitment to details, that type of stuff, that will allow you to win some games when you're not at your best, because, you know, sometimes outworking a team, even when you don't have it, is enough to get you a win.
Yeah, I agree. Very well said. Well, I won't keep you too long. Bring a raincoat, sir. And if I happen to see you on the downtown core, I'll bring one to you.
Okay, I definitely am bringing an umbrella. I know that much. Good stuff, Ryan. You be well. Thanks for the call, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, and that'll wrap us up on the phone lines this evening as the Flames fall by a 3-1 score on the road in Vancouver. Yeah, I got a pretty cool opportunity to head out to Vancouver. I got my brother and my nephew and my sister-in-law out there, so I get a chance to go do that. But more importantly, you don't get to go cover. The schedule doesn't work very often that you can go out and cover a Grey Cup. And I've had the opportunity, the privilege to freelance over at CFL.ca for, I want to say, the last almost been more than a decade that I've had the privilege to be hooked up with CFL.ca and writing for them. And I just love doing it. So when they offered and said, hey, we'd love to bring you out for Grey Cup 111, which ends up being Winnipeg versus Toronto on Sunday, I looked at the schedule, and there's only the one game that the Flames play while I'd be gone. I was like, you know what? This is a pretty cool opportunity. So I'm looking forward to getting out there. I love covering the league. It's a pretty neat opportunity you don't get a chance to go do very often. So I'm looking forward to that. You'll be in outstanding hands with Logan Gordon and Matty Rose on Friday. Kenton will be happy. I'll be back with you on Tuesday for the game against the New York Islanders. Flames Talk in the afternoon will go on hiatus. You'll have Logan and Wes Gilbertson will be with you on some Sportsnet Today over the next 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. So looking forward to doing that. And you'll be in great hands on Flames Talk postgame Friday when the Flames take on the Nashville Predators. Okay, time for tonight's final summary. Thanks for all your phone calls and texts, by the way, on this Tuesday night. Flames actually opened the scoring in this game tonight. We've been talking a lot about how the Flames need to get leads, hold leads, so on and so forth. And the Flames got a lead at the 19-minute mark of the first period. Justin Kirkland continues his great story by scoring his second of the year. Kevin Rooney, Ryan Lomberg draw the assists, and the Flames led 1-0 after 20. The problem is, they only held that lead for a grand total of 83 seconds because 23 seconds into the second period, the Canucks tie it. Elias Pettersson on a power play makes it 1-1 with his fourth of the year. Pettersson from JT Miller and Quinn Hughes at the 23-second mark of the second period. Canucks grab some momentum. They score about 2 minutes after that. Pia Suter makes it 2-1 with his sixth of the year. Miller and Eric Brandstrom draw the assists at 2:36. Canucks held a 2-1 lead after 40 minutes of play. They add to that in the third. Brandstrom scores his first as a member of the Canucks from Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk at 6:19 to make it 3-1, and the Canucks would close out for that final score. Final shots were 32-28 in favor of Vancouver. Flames finish 0-for-2 on the power play. Vancouver 1-for-3 with the man advantage. Of three stars in the building tonight, all Canucks. Number 3, JT Miller. Number 2, Eric Brandstrom. Number 2, Eric Brandstrom, and with a goal and an assist. Your number 1 star tonight was Elias Pettersson. Hardest working Flame as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Mackenzie Weegar. With the loss, Flames fall to 8-6-3. They're back in action Friday at home to Nashville, while Vancouver improves to 8-3-3. They're back in action Thursday when they host the New York Islanders. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinrich. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. As I mentioned, next up for the Flames, they are back at home to kick off a 4-game homestand Friday night. They will host the Nashville Predators at 7 o'clock, which means we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Your final score from Rogers Arena in Vancouver tonight, Flames fall by a 3-1 score to the Vancouver Canucks. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.